No problem.
All right, welcome to Pit Pass Network. Joining me today is a legend. He's raced everything, won in everything, and maybe some more news coming soon here with the F1 stuff. We'll get into that a little bit later, but it's Mario Andretti. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me today, Mr. Andretti.
My pleasure, Chris. Call me Mario, it's fine.
Well, all righty then. We'll see if we can figure that out. You've earned the respect of Mr. Andretti over everything you've done and accomplished in your racing career.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm not that old, so you can call me Mario.
That's right. You got another Indy 500 start in the future?
You never know. I don't rule anything out.
Well, take me way back here to when you first got into racing. What drew you to being a race car driver and made you want to become one of the greats?
Well, Chris, it's I became attracted to the sport when I was still living in Italy as a young teenager. Italy, was very prominent in the 50s, especially Formula One was at its infancy, and there was a lot of participation there: Ferrari, Maserati, Alfa Romeo. So, as kids, I say kids because I had a twin brother, and we both gravitated to the sport in a way that I cannot even imagine why, but we did. And after witnessing the Italian Grand Prix at age 14 in Monza, that was it. I figure, because my idol Alberto Ascari, which was current world champion, was competing there. I got to see him firsthand, and watching those cars go around, the noise and everything. From there on, I always keep saying there was no plan B. And then when we came to America at age 15 in 1955, 2 years later, we assembled, four other buddies that knew what they were doing. And we started building our own own sportsman car to race locally here in Nazareth. And that's my career started in 1959 at age 19, and it was never interrupted until I retired, which was basically came out of open wheel in 1994. But I did three more Le Mans 24 hours. My last one was in 2000. So I officially came out of a competition in 2000 at age 60.
Yeah, and you kind of walked past every. You drove every type of car. You drove everything from open wheel to stock cars to the 24 hours of Daytona, 24 hours of Le Mans. What car, looking back, was the most fun you had to drive, and what car was maybe the most difficult to figure out?
Well, they all had their own characteristic. I mean, as far as fun as any race driver that gets in any type of car, if the setup is right, the balance is right, you get the equal satisfaction. Obviously, my specialty was basically open wheel, single seaters. Then as I after I got through the first two seasons in that. In the stock car, I went into midgets right away. I went from three-quarter midgets to full-size midgets to sprint cars, then Indy cars, and then as you could see some opportunity to drive. I drove some USAC stock cars, which was the same basic rules as NASCAR, and then I had a great relationship with Ford. Back in the 60s and middle 60s, and then I expressed the desire of doing races like Daytona, for instance, and I wound up, with the top team, Hellman and Moody team, and they gave me the car that I could win the 500 there. So, again, all along I was very curious in my career to taste, what the motor racing had to offer at the top level. And, Formula One was always in the back of my mind because that's where it all started for me. And once I pretty much established myself in IndyCars, I felt that it's time to get a taste of Formula One, and I did that. You know, I did that part time for several years because I was still going for championships in IndyCars. And then in 1975, I decided I got to devote a period of my career to Formula One. I was already 35 years old, you know, and that's what I did. And then, Lord and behold, you know, I did it with the right people, the right team, Lotus, and we won the world championship in 78. And that was at age 38, you know, which was somewhat advanced for Formula One by, you know, if you look at, not in those days, but today, you know, at 38, you're ancient for Formula One.
I don't know about that. I think anytime an Andretti's behind the wheel, it's got a good shot to run pretty well.
Well, you're very kind about that. Obviously, we have I've always had this burning desire to compete and an absolute passion for the sport. There's nothing in my career, my life that I loved more than that. And so that's the main thing. That's what kept driving me. I never got enough of it, you know. So again, the sport was very, very good to me. Specifically.
Now, I've heard other drivers who have, set a blistering pace in their career and do a lot of great things and become a legend of their sport that have retired recently. One being, I've heard Jeff Gordon talk about how when you're in it, you don't look up and realize, what you're doing. You get to that time when you retire. Now, when you were in it and you're winning all these races and you're doing all these things, and I mean, you're one of, I think, two guys who has won like the 500, a NASCAR Daytona 500, a 24 Hours of Le Mans. You've won all these things. You've done all these things. Did you ever take time when you were in it to look up and realize what you accomplished?
Well, you know, in so many ways, obviously, when you accomplish, say, when you win certain very, very, every race that you win at that level is important. But now and then, you know, you get the Indianapolis, you get Daytona, and then you talk, like you said, Le Mans and so forth. That has a different ringtone, if you will. And you look back, you figure, well, you know, how fortunate am I, you know, to have been able to accomplish that. And that's the ultimate reward that you're looking for with all your work. I mean, it doesn't go unnoticed, I can tell you that. You know, it's when you reach certain plateaus, because that's what you're aiming for. You're aiming for the top, you're aiming for championships. You know, you cherish every moment. When you're gonna achieve that, you know, like, can you imagine, you know, my rookie year in IndyCars, in 1965, I win the national championship. You know, how sweet is that? You know, that gives you confidence, gives you courage to go on, and you start thinking, you know, I belong in this sport. And that those feelings are very important because it gives you confidence, as I said.
There's not many modern day Andretti's. There's not many guys who race in all these different disciplines. There's talk about this guy maybe could do it, that guy could do it. Why do you think that is? Is it just too structured in each series now? Every series has got their own kind of set way to get there and just too different. What makes it possible for you to race in a Daytona 500, an Indy 500, F1, all those races and be competitive and win in all those different disciplines? To where we don't see it anymore today.
Well, I think it's a personal thing. You know, it's even in the days where I competed, not everybody was doing this. You know, I was looking at individuals like AJ Foyt, and you know, he was one that liked to reach outside of his specialty, and a lot of that is what motivated me, you know, to just to do the same thing. And the more I did that, the more satisfaction I derived from it, and the more curiosity entered into this. So going back to today, again, Now and then you see like Fernando Alonso, who takes this sabbatical out of Formula One and then starts he comes to Indianapolis and and tries to score there, and then he goes to Le Mans and he actually did win Le Mans. It's again, it's a personal thing totally. And a lot of many of the drivers are just totally satisfied to specialize in one area. Look at Richard Petty, for instance. He was very satisfied with just being there. And but then you see Jeff Gordon, after he retires, you figure, you know what? I want a taste of sports cars, and here it goes. He does it at Daytona 24 hours. You see Jimmie Johnson after seven-time NASCAR champion, and here he retires basically from active competition in NASCAR, but still remains he still wants to do stuff, and he comes to IndyCars. How sweet is that to see? It's great to see that for the sport itself. I think it brings crossover the fan base, and it's all interesting. I'd like to see more of that, but again, it's just it's an individual thing, and it's to be respected either way. For me, I look back and I would have been, I would not have been satisfied if I would not have reached out in other areas and got the taste of it. And I got tremendous satisfaction out of it, not just to go out there and then and race. I wanted to see if I could win, and I was fortunate enough to be with the right teams, top teams. You need that. You have to have the equipment capable. You can't perform miracles, and then I had that opportunity, and again, it paid off for me.
Yeah, and then you retired in 2000, I believe you said, but you've been pretty busy for a guy that retired. Michael's got the team that he's running. Your kid Michael raced. Your grandson Marco has raced. What's it mean to you after you step out to see the success that they've had in racing and what the Andretti team looks like today in IndyCar?
Well, I love it from every standpoint. Number one, I know that they're loving what they're doing. That's the all important part, and they're pursuing something that has been so vital for me throughout my life. So there's a sense of pride here, to see your offspring, and you see a third generation participating. I mean, that's true on both sides of the family, on my brother's side and my side of the family. Both sides, we have third generation drivers, and so as a family, that's what we love, that's what we relish, and it gives me even more reason to stay close to the sport. When you feel that you have family in the game, and so that keeps me young, if you will.
And what did you think? Did you give Marco any pointers there? He just made his first NASCAR start a couple months back.
Well, he doesn't need any pointers. He knows what he's doing. He has to get a taste of it himself, and I think after driving some of those SRX, which is, to some degree, it gives him the feel of a stock car to some degree, and he enjoyed that, and hopefully if he gets opportunity, he'll do some more of that. But he's searching himself at this stage of his career, his life, as to where he wants to really be concentrating. So it'll be interesting to see.
I think he's got to shoot for a Daytona 500. Get out of that Xfinity series and find him a ride up there with, maybe Trackhouse with that operation they're doing to bring in people from other forms of racing.
All right, well, you work on it.
I wish I had that kind of power to call them up and say, I think this guy needs an opportunity.
Yeah, plant the seed.
But you've seen a lot in IndyCar. You've seen it ebb and flow. You know, you've went through the good times, the bad times, the split with IndyCar and kart that happened. And now it's kind of came full circle with Mr. Penske now running the show. What was it like to be a part of that split, and what was it like to also be a part when it came back together?
Well, you know, the split was definitely a big negative, no question, for the sport, because just the word split tells you everything, and it hurt the series tremendously. It hurt the major events. I can remember when the major competitors and teams were not at Indianapolis, which is here again, it's the crown jewel of the series. And it's just like the Daytona 500. If you would only have maybe just trucks or Xfinity, you know, there would be would not be what it normally is. So going back to that, those were terrible times for the sport, in my opinion. And but it has come back. It's recovered, not to the level that it was yet. You know, it just, for some reason, it lost a generation of fans, and it takes time to rebuild. But the IndyCar series is really at a good place now, mainly because you look at the product. You got to look at the product, the quality of teams, and then the quality of drivers. The talent that's out there is unbelievable. It's almost, I would say, unprecedented. So I think it's, again, the series is well placed, and it's and I'm enjoying that part of it now.
Yeah, and another thing that you've been a part of is I believe you've got a winery, right?
Well, I yes, I was in. We had the winery for 25 years, but I closed it in March because of two elements. Once it was the fires, and then the pandemic pretty much eliminated the traffic. There was no longer a destination for in-house business. So we're still producing wine, but I got a, you know, I got out of this the winery itself. I'm no longer there, and I have some key people still working, and we're selling online. We have just a tasting room in Napa Valley for me to just to keep the key people employed, because there are many wineries for sale, and then they cannot find employment. So I'm keeping the key people still employed.
And then just a few weeks back, you got to drive an F1 car. What was that like to get back behind the wheel of an F1 car?
Well, that was part of my bucket list, and I expressed myself to Zac Brown a couple of years ago when we were in England at Goodwood, and he made good to his promise that he'd give me that opportunity, and that was fun. It was again was what I pretty much what I expected, and I owe him a great deal for giving me that opportunity.
And then, of course, I can't sit here and have a conversation with you without bringing up what's it looking like to get an Andretti F1 team out on the grid here and soon.
We're working on that, Chris, every single day, trying to check every box that they put in front of us, and our hopes are still very positive that this will happen. It's just been a bit frustrating that it's taken so long, you know, to get some decisions from the top level, Formula One, from FIA and FOM. But again, we're staying positive, and we have the resilience to stay on this thing, and I I hope that Michael gets his wish, you know, by just being able to participate as an owner in Formula One.
Yeah, and as a fan, I tell you this, I think I speak for most fans. We would love to see another American F1 team out there and get in, American victory lane. It's been a long time for F1, and Haas hasn't lived up to what everybody thought when that was announced. Hopefully they can still get there, but to see an Andretti out there on the grid and the Andretti team would be huge. And F1 seems to be trying to hit this US market pretty hard.
Yeah, of course. With next year having three races here, I mean, why not have another American team? And one thing for sure, we would always have at least one American driver, which is very important, to be able to do that, and ultimately maybe two. But that's the objective, to have America as a country involved in what I would like to think is the Olympics of motorsports, which is Formula One, because of its international status.
Yeah, now before we wrap this up, I got one more question for you here. When somebody comes up to you as a fan and asks, what race sticks out to you, what's the first thing you think of when you think of your victories and everything? What's the one victory that comes to mind, and what does it mean to you to be looked at as this legend? Because that's what you are. What's it mean to you?
Well, obviously, anytime any fan, anyone expresses some interest in my career, I mean, it's I feel, this has got to feel awfully good about that. No question. That's the ultimate compliment, the way I see it. As far as the races, every race that you win, I mean, you try, you try so hard. It's so hard to win races. So no matter what it is, but for me, looking back as to how and where it all started, for me to win the Italian Grand Prix in 1977, it was really definitely a part of, you could say, my ultimate dream, my most ambitious dream came true, and then the following year, I clinched the world championship right there in Italy. So you talk about coming full circle, as a young teenager, that's where, the dream was cemented, the mold was cast. And then to win that, there, and actually I won twice at Monza. I even won the sports car race, 1,000 kilometers, and an Alfa Romeo. But to win that in a Grand Prix, yeah. On a personal level, there's nothing that can top that. But then you look at the crown jewels of the top disciplines like NASCAR and IndyCar. So Daytona, Indianapolis, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. So you can see, I look back and I pinch myself, how blessed I've been.
Yeah, and anyone who joins us here and gives us time, we make a donation to a charity of their choice. Is there a charity you want to point out for us to donate to this week?
Yes, there's a charity that my wife was very much involved in, for so many years, and it's about it sort of helps local children, and I can probably give you some details. It's a fund to benefit children and youth, and it's it's at the local level here, so.
Is that what it's called? Fund to benefit children and youth?
Yes, it's actually, I don't know if you, the address is 904 West Highland Street in Whitehall, Pennsylvania, 18052. 100%.